Amen. I hope that this word in Isaiah will dwell richly in our heart. And that requires that you yourself read it again. You know, the message, yes, is needed, but it's not everything. Otherwise, we wouldn't need much more time. But the message is just to help you, just like a key given to you to get into it yourself. Right, we praise the Lord for His enlightening, but that is not enough. You need to get into it yourself. Amen. Oh Lord, we're close to the end. Praise God. Amen. Every chapter, actually, in the book of Isaiah is correlated to each other. So that you have to see the whole picture. Right? The scripture is written as a whole. Not just here and there, but you need to see the whole picture from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. Right? If we don't see it, then what can we do? Right? Anyway, we have seen in chapter 63 that when the Lord comes back, there is really the judgment. Don't think there is no judgment. Isaiah tells us very clearly and confirmed in the book of Revelation that this is going to happen. It's really amazing. 2,700 some years ago, Isaiah already saw what was going to happen. And John, the apostle, wrote the book of Revelation. The Lord showed him, exactly confirming what Isaiah has written. Can you imagine that? You know, you have to be impressed that the Bible is the Word of God. There's no choice. Only those who didn't read the Bible say they don't believe. But hey, don't say so quickly you don't believe you don't read the Bible. Right? It is not very wise to say I don't believe when you have not even read the Bible. Right? And even if we read it, we need to read it with an open heart, with a spirit of prayer. Lord, show me what is in your word. So after Isaiah saw, my goodness, this judgment is coming. And it's a terrible judgment. Right? For example, at the very end of chapter 63 concerning his coming back to judge in verse 5 and 6. Right? I looked, but there was none to help, no one there to help. And I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm, says the Lord, brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, and made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. You know, this is talking about the last war, the war of the Armageddon, which we saw this morning. When you put all those verses together, you will really be amazed and see what is going to happen. Then, in verse 7, Isaiah began to pray and to intercede for God's people. Because he realized, goodness, such judgment is coming. You know, he's not just for himself, he's for God's plan and God's purpose. So in verse 7, he started to say, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord. You know, it's not that God just will come and punish everybody, but the Lord has waited for so long and has given God's people and the nations so many chances to repent and to turn to Him. But they would not. They would not. Right. And then Isaiah continued to say, according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel. God has done so much for Israel, but at the end, what happened to His people? They turned against God. They became idol worshippers. They became like the nations, and even worse. It's written, they even offer their children as sacrifice to demons. Can you imagine? Would you do that? But they did it. And God sent the prophets to them to warn them. Not only they won't listen, they killed the prophets. Can you imagine? Goodness. Yeah. And the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He has bestowed on them according to His mercies, according to the multitude of His loving kindness. For He, God, said, right? This capital He, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. God was hoping. Right? So He became their Savior. And in all their affliction, He was afflicted. Yeah. Right? And the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them. He bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. What did Paul write? In Ephesians, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Who is he talking to? The Israelites now? No, he's talking to us. How many times have we grieved the Holy Spirit? The Lord says, stop, don't do it. You still went on to do it. Don't say this. It came out of my mouth. We couldn't hold it. We grieve the Holy Spirit. He won't leave you. But you grieved Him. This is a real suffering for Him. God already bestowed as a gift the Holy Spirit in you. He couldn't run away. That's the trouble. He couldn't run away. Right? And if He couldn't run away and He has to stay in us, Sam, and we do a lot of things that offended Him and grieved Him, can you imagine how He suffered? Many times we don't think about it, right? We don't think about it. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. But they rebelled. We are still quite rebellious, Sam. Don't think you're a Christian, you're born again, you're saved, you're not rebellious. We are rebellious Christians. And don't think God will not punish us. What happened? So He turned Himself against them as an enemy. Finally, you leave Him no choice. And He even fought against them. But then He remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them out of the sea, the Red Sea, with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses, with his glorious arm dividing the water before them to make for himself an everlasting name. You see, I like Isaiah because Isaiah reminded God of what he did. You know, many times you have to remind God what happened. Did you forget what you did for us? God, did you forget the 10 plagues? You used Moses and you dealt with Pharaoh. You opened the Red Sea. You did so much to save them. Right? Did you forget? Well, many times we have to remind God. Yeah. Anyone who is a good intercessor will know how to remind God. You paid such a price. You died, right, on a cross through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Right? Who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness that they might not stumble, as a beast that goes down into the valley. Right, showing them how the whole people there of the Israelites went through the Red Sea. Right? So you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. And now look down from heaven and see your habitation, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your strength, the yearning of your heart and your mercies toward me and toward your people? Are they restrained? Right. What a wonderful intercessor. Reminding God that he is a wonderful God. Hey, come on, God. Don't be angry with us forever. You have to learn to be an intercessor. Just like the Lord today before God, Hebrews says, as our great heavenly high priest, always interceding before the Father for you, for me, for all of us. After we grieve the Holy Spirit and have done so much offending to the Father, God would have been quite angry. But the Lord there is speaking for you as an intercessor. Wait, 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 Father. Have you not forgotten that I paid the price on a cross for Stefan Strobel? Then the Father will think, oh, that's right. Doubtless you are our father, though Abraham was ignorant about us, but you know us. Right? And Israel does not acknowledge us, but you, O Lord, are our father, our redeemer, and everlasting is your name. O Lord, why have you made us stray from your ways? Meaning to say, why did you let us go astray? Actually, God didn't let you. You make yourself go astray. But the intercessor injected some words there. Saying, Lord, perhaps you could have prevented, but you didn't. Could he? Hard to say. But because you insisted to go on your ways, what can he do? But Lord, you're God. Many times I told them, I'm just a man, but you're God. We're just poor human beings. Fallen. Trying to argue with him a little bit. Of course, I always lose. But at least I tried. O Lord, why have you made us stray from your ways? Although he's not blaming God, but he's just saying, ah, why didn't you help us? And harden our heart from your fear. Oh, return for your servant's sake. The tribes of your inheritance. Don't forget why you saved us. What a heart Isaiah has for God's people. Do you have such a heart? If we just do some mistakes, oh, something already rise up out of your heart. Not considering that you make perhaps worse mistakes. Your holy people have possessed it but a little while, just a little while, and already the adversary have trodden down your sanctuary. You reminded God, look, now your temple is destroyed by your adversaries, by your enemies. We have become like those of old, over whom you never ruled. We've become like those who were never saved, who never knew you, as if you have never ruled over us, like your enemies. Those who were never called by your name. Learn to intercede. Right. But you should have such a heart to be able to be such an intercessor. Oh, that you would rend the heavens. You know, rent the heavens. Why rend? Just open a door and come down. But if you are in a hurry, you just, ooh, bang, you rent the curtain, the veil, and jump down, right? That means, come on, do it quickly, Lord. It's no time to waste. Do you have that kind of a heart? That you would come down and jump down. That the mountains might shake at your presence, just like the days of old. When the Lord met them at Mount Sinai, the mountain, the whole mountain was shaking. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes the water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, to your enemies. That the nations may tremble at your presence. Don't you wish this will happen in the United States? In the whole world? Look at the lawlessness today. And people are so used to lawlessness, it already becomes normal. And they don't even feel it anymore. And everybody thought it's normal, it's okay. Is it okay? You think it is okay? If you think it is all right and you have no more feeling against it, something is wrong already with your faith. And when you did awesome things for which we did not look, right? You came down, the mountain shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you. There is none who acts for the one who waits for him. My, are you waiting really for him? Especially when you see the situation in the world today, don't you cry out to him, Lord, how long are you going to tolerate this? Right. So are you one who waits for him? You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness. Praise the Lord. This is the kind of people God is looking for. Again, righteousness. How many times now? You didn't count yet. But it's good to know them many, many times. That's good enough. That means it is mentioned so many times that you lost count. You meet him who rejoices in righteousness and who does righteousness. You who remembers you in your ways, my, so wonderful. We always forget, you know, whatever, anything to do with God, we have very short memories. Yeah, well, after this conference, you go home next week. What did you hear? Yeah, what did we hear? Wait, let me open Isaiah, but where? You already forget. We have short memories. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. And in these ways we continued. We need to be saved. Do you confess to the Lord, Lord, I need to be saved. To be saved to the uttermost. We all, look at the situation today. Many times I cry out to the Lord, not for myself. Of course, also for myself, but for a lot of people that I know. Lord, save us all, including myself. We need salvation. Right? We need to cry out. Don't you love Isaiah? We need a lot of Isaiahs today. And the name of Isaiah is the same as the meaning of the Lord Jesus, only it is said in a different way. The Lord is our salvation. God is our salvation. Don't think, oh, you're already saved. No, yes, you're already saved, but you need to say it to be saved more. Hebrews says we need to be saved to the uttermost. Your mind needs to be saved. That's why when you read a Bible, you don't understand because your mind is not saved. We need to have our mind renewed. Be transformed, Paul says, by the renewing of your mind. Hey, our mind thinks of a lot of crazy things, right? Yeah. Your mind is so holy and wonderful. Oh, whose mind is so holy and wonderful and perfect. And you think your mind does not need salvation? Have you ever prayed, Lord, save me from my mind here. Renew my mind. Right. Now let us read verse 6 together and verse 7. But we all, like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and have consumed us because of our iniquities. Yeah. Isaiah represent God's people here to confess. But on the other hand, he says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. Father. What is a father? A father is a father who firstly gives life to you. He's a loving father. Our father is the one who cares for us. God is, if you think about God, oh, he is so awesome, he is so majestic, he is so almighty, he is so great, is it? Right? He's the judge of all, even, Hebrews says. But a father, of course the father gets angry at you sometime, right? No? Never? Of course, but only for a moment. Because he loves you. So Isaiah reminded God, God, you are our father. You're our father. Yeah. We are the clay and you are our potter. It's a wonderful word. We are the clay, you are the potter. What does it say to you? You should say, Father, you are the one who made me like this. I'm created by you. Now don't tell me you're going to throw me away. Right? And all we are the work of your hands. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Isn't that a wonderful word? You remember people who offended you forever. But God has very short memories for that. In the New Covenant, he says, and your sins will I remember forever. What did he say? No more. So will you remember my sins when I offended you? Oh Lord, Lord, do not be furious. Oh Lord, do not remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we are all your people. Although we are so terrible, we are still your people. We are still your children. And look, your holy cities now have become a wilderness. Look at the churches today. Look at God's people today. Look at the condition today. It's like wilderness. Each one doing their own work, doing their own thing. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Right? It depends on your vision. Some people thought, oh, it's so wonderful. You talk to a Roman Catholic or the Pope, Vatican and everything. Oh, it's so wonderful, but it's a desolation. It's a wicked place. It's just recently in the news. The Pope was almost apprehended and stopped for doing a child sacrifice in Geneva. Is that beautiful, wonderful, eh? But people didn't know because they don't see through. There is no discernment. That pastor asking the congregation to donate money, how many million? To do what? For the poor? What? To buy him a private jet. He already had three. But the fourth one is 54 million. And they all thought, this is a wonderful pastor. Let's buy him a plane. How blind can God's people be? You think that's wonderful? In our eyes, it's a wilderness. It's a desolation. It's a deceit. Somehow the father of lies is behind it all. So it depends on your eyes, what you see. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our father praised you, is burned up with fire. And all our pleasant things are laid waste. And this is the whole situation today regarding Zion, God's kingdom today. And God's people were blinded, deceived, divided, believing everything. Gospel of prosperity. You give God 1,000, he will give you 10,000. Where is it written here in the Bible? Oh God, will you restrain yourself because of these things? Are you going to hold back and not doing anything? Will you let it go on like this forever? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? Now, look. You have to see the situation, and yet you still have to love God's people. Then you're qualified to be an intercessor. Yep. You know, we're not here just, oh, no, wow, now I know the book of Revelation. Now I know what's going to happen. No. It is horrible what's going to happen. Right? And it's horrible to go through the last 3.5 years, the great day of God's wrath, and all the Christian believe, oh, we are all going to be raptured. I don't believe such lies. It's written differently in the Bible. Right. So this is actually a wonderful chapter of Isaiah's intercession for God's people. Learn to be an intercessor. You have to feel the situation. You have to feel for God, and you have to feel for God's people. You have to know what is in God's heart, and you have to know the condition of God's people. Otherwise, you cannot be an intercessor. If you don't know what God wants, and you don't know the condition of God's people, you're in no position to be an intercessor. Right. What was the answer of the Lord in chapter 65? And then the Lord answered him. The Lord answered him. O Lord, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. And on the other hand, I have stretched out my hand all day long to a rebellious people. Who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts, and people who provoke me to anger continually to my place, to my face. This is hard to describe. You know, and Paul, we have written here, the quotation in the New Testament concerning what God says here to Isaiah. Let's turn to those verses. That proves that this word that God has spoken here to Isaiah applied to us today in the New Testament days. Let's turn to Acts. Right here, we have it here. Chapter 13, verse 46 to 47. Anyone who has it, please read it to us.
Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said,
said to whom?
It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first.
To the Jews first. But they didn't accept it, right?
But since you rejected it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles.
Amen.
For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.
This is a quotation from Isaiah, right? This is a quotation to Isaiah from Isaiah. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 18 to 21. Anyone who has it.
I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by mm-hmm. those who are not a nation.
Mm-hmm.
I will move you to anger by a foolish nation.
Mm-hmm.
But Isaiah is very bold and says...
Isaiah is what?
Very bold.
Really?
Yes.
Are you bold? Are you also bold to say the truth? What did Isaiah say?
Isaiah is very bold and he says, I was found by those who did not seek me.
That is Isaiah 65 verse 1. Okay, go ahead, continue.
I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me.
Yes.
But to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people.
Right. Amazing. Isaiah was very bold to say that. You know, and today, so many Christians are not willing to listen to the truth. They would rather believe in the traditional concepts of theology. Oh, you'll go to heaven. You have no more problem. You're already saved. God forgave all of your sins. You're okay. You go to heaven. You go to heaven, really? Of course, I don't want to talk about that tonight. I've been talking about that for almost 50 years. And they don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear that. So, you can see that even at the time of Paul there, this verse was really fulfilled. The Jews rejected strongly the gospel. And so they have to turn to the nations and to the Gentiles. But Isaiah already wrote about it a long time ago. Romans, let's continue, chapter 9, verse 24 to 26, and verse 30. Somebody read it. Mm-hmm.
As he says also in Hosea,
mm-hmm.
I will call them my people who were not my people.
Right.
And her beloved who was not beloved.
Amen.
And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living God.
Amen.
Verse 30. What shall we say then that Gentiles did not pursue righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And this is the fulfillment of what Isaiah boldly declared here. Right? And even Peter said the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Actually, there are many other verses, right? But here you can see the apostles mentioned what Isaiah said here. It is good to know. Don't think, oh, that's in the Old Testament. No, it applies very much today in our time. You know, even if you bring Christians into the truth today who comes in and they brought in a lot of baggage with them, you'll have a hard time convincing them. But someone who never heard the gospel and they came into the church life, to Zion today, it's very easy for them to accept. because they are not filled with junk. Right. And this is the principle today. So may the Lord really bring many who have not heard the gospel into his truth. Bring them to Zion. Lord, bring them to Zion.
Amen.
Amen. Right. I was found by those who did not seek me. Amen. Right. There in San Diego, at the university in Pomona. Don't just seek out the believers, because they have heard so many different kinds of teachings and doctrines, and you have to argue with them and to debate with them until you still are not sure you can convince them. Try to tell the Roman Catholic Church about Jesus Christ. It'll be very difficult to convince them. Right? But I've stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people. Yep. Verse 3, a people who provoke me to anger. Don't think that we do not provoke him. We provoke him so many times. Yeah, disobedient people. And here, at that time, during the time of Isaiah, who sacrificed in the gardens and burned incense on the altar of bricks, they were idol worshippers. They became idol worshippers who sit among the graves, my goodness, and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. And they even say, keep to yourself, don't come near me, for I'm holier than thou. What do you have to tell me? And what did God say? These people, these are smoke in my nostril. God got so mad, fire came out of his nostril. Smoke came out of his nostril. A fire that burns all the day. Oh Lord, and the Lord says, behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will repay. Even repay into their bosom your iniquities and iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains to the idols, of course, and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore I will measure their former works into their bosom. Wow. Our God is really a very merciful God, but don't push him to the rim at the end. There will be judgment. And Paul reminded us, we the believers, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. Don't think we Christians will not be judged. This is a special judgment for all of us Christians. Yeah. Oh Lord Jesus, amen. But yet the Lord will not destroy all of them. There will be a remnant. Just like today, there is going to be a small remnant. Because the majority, they don't like to listen. They prefer just go Sunday meetings and traditionally sit there a couple of hours a week, and that's good enough, right? You think God is happy about that? Too much. You can read it yourself. But then the Lord is a just God. He's a righteous judge. His judgment is righteous. As the new wine is found in a cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. So God, in spite of all those terrible things, God still will keep for himself a remnant, a small remnant. Yeah. The new wine, praise the Lord. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, an heir of my mountains, my elect, the chosen ones, will inherit it. And my servant shall dwell there, the true servant. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks in the valley of Achor, a place for herds to lie down, for my people who have sought me. Praise the Lord, there is still a small number who are seeking after God, who are faithful and true. Now, where do you find those? In the New Testament. I will give you a chance to share tonight. Timo, who are they? Revelation chapter 2 and 3, who are they? Those who overcome. Those who have an ear to hear, and to him who overcomes. These are a remnant. The rest, they are not going to inherit. Let us read, let us read. It is good to read. Although we already know them, you see, you forgot tonight. Right? You forgot who this remnant are. Yeah, the Lord wrote in chapter 2, of course, to the church in Ephesus. And what did he say in verse 4? Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love, the best love. The Lord doesn't want you just to love him. He wants you to give him the best love first, not only in the place, right? Not only number one, but first, meaning to say the best. And he's God, you have to give him the best, right? It's no good for him if you tell him, okay, you're number two. Then the Lord will say, then you can forget it. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent. And now, he's talking to the church in Ephesus, okay? He's not talking to unbelievers. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Right? But this you have, that you hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Do you know what God hates? What the Lord hates? You think he only loves? But there's something he hates here. Yeah, I'm not here to talk about it tonight. But it says here, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, that means not everyone is an overcomer. Not everyone has an ear to hear, and not everyone like to hear it. I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now to the church in Smyrna, verse 11, right? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Wow. Right? And then to the church in Pergamos. Verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, he did not say to him who believes. Well, to believe is very simple. But to overcome is not very simple. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. So that means some, they will be eating some special food. Right? And I will give him a white stone, and on a stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Praise the Lord. And to the church in Thyatira, he said, he who overcomes, verse 26, he who overcomes, are you an overcomer? Or are you a nominal Christian who does what he wants and just believes anything and everything? To him who overcomes, it says, verse 26, and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. My goodness, you like to do that? Eh? How about that? Kyle. It's better than just working for IBM. And he shall rule them, the nations, with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Wow. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Right? And chapter 3, verse 5, to him who overcomes, right, he shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Wow. You like your name to be blotted out temporarily for a millennial kingdom at that time? Right? Oh, Lord. And verse 12, to Philadelphia, to him who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, praise the Lord, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear. Do you have an ear to hear? Right, to the church in Laodicea, what did the Lord say? Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me. Where? Oh, come on, really? You like to sit on his throne with him? Well, then, you think everybody, all the Christians, will sit with him on a throne? No, only those who overcome. And he's speaking to the churches. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. In chapter 12, concerning the man-child, he was raptured to the throne. The woman not. And chapter 14, the first fruits, they were raptured to the throne, the rest were not. And chapter 15, only those who were beheaded. Yeah. Who overcame the beast. So you still have a last chance. In the last 3.5 years, face to face with a beast. Do you like to be face to face with a beast? But then only those who were beheaded, who overcame the beast, today the beast is not here yet. You cannot overcome the beast today. He is not here. But there are a lot of things in Revelation 2 and 3 you have to overcome. But even in the last year, the 3.5 years, you're going to face the beast. You like to face the beast? No. So you can see, read the Bible. Read the Bible, then you will know. If you don't read, you will not know. And these are the righteous ones. These are the ones who are faithful to the Lord. These are the ones that Isaiah said, God will spare them and will not judge them. Right. Amen. Then in verse 11 in Isaiah 45 and 65, but you are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who prepared a table for God as a pagan god, a pagan deity, and who furnish a drink offering for Minai. That's also another pagan god. Therefore, I will number you for a sword. You shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. My, these are very serious words. Don't think Isaiah is just talking about the Jews at that time. Everything applies in principles to for us today. Yeah. Behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. My servant shall drink, and you shall be thirsty. My servants rejoice, you shall be ashamed. My servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrows of heart. Did not the Lord say to that unfaithful servant, what is he going to do? Firstly, in Matthew chapter 25, that unfaithful servant, that evil servant, you'll be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then in Luke chapter 12, a servant who knew the master's will and did not do them will be beaten with many stripes, more than the servants who didn't know and therefore didn't do it. But you still get the beating, but not as much. You better believe what the Lord says in Luke chapter 12, okay? And that unfaithful servant who says, my Lord will not come back so quickly, and they will be drinking, getting drunk with the people in the world, and beat up his fellow servants, kick them out. Oh, be careful who you kick out, okay? That servant, he will be cut into pieces, the Lord says. The Lord says it, okay? Don't think I said it. No, I'm just quoting the Bible. And Paul warned us, be careful how you build. If you build with gold, silver, and precious stones, praise the Lord, you get a reward. You build with wood, hay, and stubble, your work will be burned up, and you will be saved. Of course, you will not lose your salvation, because salvation is not by works, but by faith is a gift of God. But how you build, it is very important. Then your work will be burned up. You will be saved, because salvation is free. But as through fire. How about you like to go through fire? Yeah, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. so many things here. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, if those in the Old Testament days who did not listen when God spoke to them through Moses in those days, but today God is speaking to us, how can you escape? You cannot escape. Don't think you can escape God. Wherever you go, you can hide in the deepest part of the sea. He'll find you there. That's what the psalmist says. Wherever, where can you hide in this universe? In the moon? He made the moon there. Where are you going to hide? Nowhere you cannot hide. So, hey. And Hebrews warned us, our God is a consuming fire. And Peter also warned us. And Jude also. Oh my, Jude warning. Jude. Don't underestimate Jude, although it's only one chapter, okay? Should I read it to you all? I don't need to, right? It's all very, very clear. Oh, Lord Jesus, you shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen, my goodness. For the Lord God will slay you and call his servants by another name. Oh, Lord. this is really wonderful. And then after that, after all the judgment, verse 17, behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. This is really wonderful. But not before all the judgment is taken care of. Revelation talks about new heaven and new earth. In Revelation chapter 21 and 22. What did John see? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Wow. How about that? But Isaiah already saw it. 2700 years ago, concerning the new heaven and new earth. Don't tell me, oh, that's the Old Testament. Only foolish people will say that. Blinded, foolish, proud, thinking they know it all. Right. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. Of course, we know now that he's talking about the new and heavenly Jerusalem. Right? I think for this we need to read Revelation. Now let us read Revelation chapter 21. It's wonderful. My, 2700 years ago, I say already saw it, but today we don't even care about seeing it. And then you think, oh no, it has nothing to do with me. Yeah, chapter 21. Now I saw what?
A new heaven and a new earth.
What? You think John is the first one who saw it? John saw it quite late. Somebody saw it first. Isaiah saw it. And it was an encouragement to him. Because Isaiah was so concerned Isaiah saw what's the terrible judgment that's coming. But God is now, the Lord is now comforting him. Don't worry. After all this judgment, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or even come to mind. And in fact, it says here, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Praise the Lord. And there was no more sea. The sea of judgment there. The sea of death. No wonder all the beasts came out of the sea. The abyss, the bottomless pit is there. You remember all the demons, the Lord cast out that demon whose name is Legion. Right? Because there are so many of them. Oh my goodness. And they requested the Lord to cast them into the herd of swine there. The Lord says, okay, get into the herd of swine. And what happened to the herd of swine? They all run into the sea. So wherever they go, the Lord will send them into the sea. Oh, that's very good. They cannot escape. It's okay. That is just a sideline. Amen. I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. You know, although Isaiah did not see the New Testament age so clearly because it was hidden from them in the Old Testament age. But Isaiah saw the new heaven and new earth, and for him, the millennial age was included, except he did not see it as clearly as we do today. He didn't see it. But he saw what's going to happen. So that renovation and that time of peace and righteousness is not just in a new heaven, new earth. It starts in when? In the millennial kingdom. He just didn't mention it because it was not revealed in the Old Testament days. But today we know it so clearly. Praise God. Because we are living in a New Testament age. Right. But before we go on with that, let us see what Peter says in 2 Peter. Right? And even Peter, he didn't mention the millennial kingdom. And Peter mentioned right away, we are looking for what? A new heaven and new earth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, certainly he got it from Isaiah. Where else? Right? And let's say what Peter says concerning the Lord's coming back again. Beginning in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, meaning to say the old ones, will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. All the junk, all the pollution, and all the crazy things that people do on this earth. Because we forgot that during the millennial kingdom, as Isaiah says, all the weapons and will become what? They will turn it into plowshares, right? But anyway, you can read it yourself. Yeah. Yes, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth, it's not the whole earth, meaning to say the habitable place of the earth, and the wicks that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, you still want to invest in it? You want to have a collection of junk? It's all going to be dissolved, okay? It's all going to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? This. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire in the elements, everything that's man-made. There will be a lot of things to be dissolved. Just alone, all the weapon industries and all the junk that we treasure so much today. Oh, all the beautiful cars. Your muscle car.
No problem.
No problem. Praise the Lord. They'll all be dissolved. All be dissolved. So make better use of your assets to lay up treasures in heaven. Right? Being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. But nevertheless, we, according to his promise, where was it? Where was this promise written? Are you looking for that promise? Of course, where else did he promise that? He promised that 2,700 years ago in our dear brother Isaiah's writing. Behold, I will create a new heaven and new earth, and the old one will pass away and will be remembered no more. How about that? According to his promise, I will just add in Isaiah chapter 65. We look for new heaven and a new earth in which what dwells? Oh my goodness, I don't think we will ever forget this wonderful word again, in which righteousness dwells. But let it dwell in us today and amongst us today in Zion, in a changed life. Wow, oh Lord God. Therefore, beloved, I like really amazingly wonderful the attitude of our dear brother Peter. Of course, being older, he changed. He really changed. Praise the Lord. Peter was not like that in his younger age. He will not call anyone beloved. But now he called us beloved. Looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Amen. Amen. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things. Oh, wow. Yeah. In which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Amen. So don't try to twist the Bible to fit your own concept. It's not going to fit. It's going to break your head. Yeah. If you twist it, it'll spring back like a spring, and it's going to break your head. You therefore, beloved. Ah, I love that word. Since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. He is warning the Christian, the believers, being led away with error of the wicked. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Right, it's 9 o'clock again. Tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about the new heaven and the new earth. Right, and then conclude the book of Isaiah. Amen. What a wonderful book. May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
Right? But actually, you can read it yourself. It's simple, right?
Amen.
Let's have some prayers.